We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. This isn't something we've earned. It's how God made us, made for goodness. Like the salt, we're made to preserve and to enhance the flavors of the world. Like the light, we're made to be light for others in times of darkness. A wonderful poet friend, Steve DePaul, dedicated this poem to me a few years ago after a sermon about Mary. In the last few days, this poem has given me a lot of comfort. It speaks of a childhood memory that he had in which his parents drive him to church, and he's wearing a stiff Eaton's starched shirt around, and his collar is feeling constrained. And the service is droning on into the afternoon, and it's in Latin. And he finds himself gazing at a statue of Mary. And a couple of verses from the poem read, "In front of me stands the statue of Mary Immaculate. She is trapped in an artist's conception, the blue-veiled maiden with red-painted lips, her heart pierced by 7 daggers, each one a future life sorrow. Surely she's too young for this drama. I am too young to endure her perpetual waiting as the Latin falls over me, heavy like the incense. If only Mary could shatter her plaster shell, maybe flee through the side door, invisible to everyone but me. She'd finally breathe that virgin cold, this Middle Eastern girl, crazy to see snow for the first time. The two of us, with all the time in the world, might make a run for it, toward that dark west, into the snow, waiting, immaculate." I want to share with you a personal struggle that I've been going through in the last couple of weeks, because I think there's something in it that some of you might be able to relate to. 2 weeks ago, I led an event where a few individuals who were intent on disruption used harassment tactics and caused me and the people who I had under my responsibility to feel psychologically unsafe. A few people filled with anger, hate, and ire yelled expletives and accusations at us. They stopped others from talking. Their true natures encased in what? In power, wounds perhaps, fear, frustration, who knows? But their anger was toxic. It took almost 45 minutes for us to shut down the venue and get them to leave. And the incident triggered something in me, and I have spent 2 weeks feeling angry. Angry that I couldn't protect people around me. Angry that a small number of individuals intent on intimidating managed to do just that. And I've felt dark and sad and edgy. And so I've been drawn to this poem by Steve DePaul, because his depiction of the young Mary is something I relate to. How fear and sadness can encase us in the same plaster prison that statue of Mary in Steve's childhood musing was encased within. A shell not of her own image, but that of another. An adulterated image that is cheapened. And what others may want to see, but not one that is life-giving. Instead, one that emphasizes sorrow, rather than the fullness of Mary's ministry of love, loyalty, and hope. It's hard sometimes not to let the anxieties of the world get the better of us. It's hard sometimes not to let the values of our society, which so often are contrary to the gospel, not become layers of plaster that cover up our true selves. So that behind the veneer of smiles and red lipstick, the outside world can still sometimes see our wounds, but not our essence, not our light. In the passage from today's gospel, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to God in heaven. The metaphors of salt and light are powerful ones because these are essential to life. Salt is an incredibly stable compound, and it's used to preserve food from going bad and to enhance flavors. The Greek word used in the original gospel text for when the salt loses its flavor is moranth, which comes from moreno, which also means to become foolish. If we stop following the word of God, we can become foolish. This was a double entendre that Matthew would have known. Salt loses its taste only when it's adulterated with other substances or when it's diluted. Just as our values as disciples can be diminished when our focus is no longer on God and on each other. As disciples, we're called upon to not lose our saltiness and to not snuff out our light. But what does this look like? So let's consider that Jesus also says that he did not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. And so as Christians, we have to hold the Old and the New Testaments in hand, seeking guidance through the life of Jesus and through the prism of the cross. And so today we turn to Isaiah. In the passage from Isaiah, he's speaking to an exiled people who've been through a lot and who are finding their way back to the promised land. They've endured exile, they've suffered, and they've obeyed the laws and rituals, and yet despite their fasting and keeping those rituals, they feel abandoned, and so they cry out, "Why do we fast, but you do not see?" And God responds that in their fast, they're seeking their own interests. They fast, and yet they oppress their workers. They fast, and yet they become angry and strike out at others. Isaiah is not about dismissing rituals, such as fasting, but rather he's reminding us that the purpose of the law and the purpose of the rituals is not to be self-serving or to draw attention to our own piety, but to serve others. This is the point that Jesus is making. He does not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. In other words, we don't follow the law for the sake of the law. It's not about going through the motions. We follow it to come closer to God and to one another. When observing the laws takes us far from God's love and loving others, we become foolish. If fasting causes us to be short-tempered, then observing the fast is not praising God. The purpose of a fast is to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free. It's about cracking through the plaster of pretense. It's about breaking through the layers upon layers that condemn our light. It's about breaking out of churches that preach divide or would have us worship without action. It's about running out through the side door and taking a deep breath in of the virgin cold and glorifying God by playing in the immaculate snow. Isaiah calls us to social justice. It's about serving the world, enhancing the earth, and bringing light to the darkness. Faith without works is dead. The fast that God shows us is one where we break bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into our houses, where we cover the naked, and we do not hide ourselves behind warped values that will imprison us. When we fast like that, God assures us light will break forth like the dawn, and our healing will spring up quickly. I want to turn for a moment to Jesus' question. If salt loses its taste, how do you restore it? Which presumes it can be restored. There is hope and there is healing in today's passage. I would like to point us all to the fact that when Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world," the "you" that is used in Greek is plural. In other words, it's a collective "you." Yes, we are all salt individually, and we are all light, but we are also all one in the body of Christ. So what this tells me is that we need each other. The reasons why choirs can sustain a note so beautifully and so long is because individual singers at various intervals can take their breaths so that the note can be sustained and transcend. In the same way, when we lose our saltiness, when our light begins to dim, we can take a Sabbath rest. We can breathe. We can pray and listen to the guidance of the Spirit, knowing that our brothers, sisters, siblings in Christ will carry on as we restore and heal, so that collectively we can glorify God. Amen.